Paul, if I don't say one more thing.
That's good, then you can leave here.
Yeah, no. If I don't say one more thing, my wife wants me to say this about the Secret Sisters. And if I don't say that, I may be in trouble. They're having their reveal party tomorrow evening, and she wanted me to let you know that soup and salad is a part of that party, so don't come already fed. So I'm so sorry. Oh, it's at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock tomorrow. Six is what it says. Oh, I don't know. Where's my wife? Well, this is what she just handed me. Hey, be there at 6. 6:30, food may be gone. So, I don't know. You check with my wife then. Sorry about that.
Throne, all the glory.
Thank you, choir. You make a good choir, too. So now you're going to have to stand. We're going to sing as a choir, okay? Soon and very soon.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. No more dying down.
When we all get to heaven,
sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Well, be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all us will sing and shout the victory.
Are you looking forward to that day?
Amen.
Amen. Let's read together, shall we? Colossians 3. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him.
This is my desire to all I have within me.
This morning, have your way in our hearts. May we look at your word this morning as Pastor brings the word. We pray that we'll search our hearts. We pray that we'll be the servants that you desire. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. May be seated.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Any praise you want to share this morning, what God's done for you this week? Maybe it protected you, helped you through a doctor appointment, whatever it may be.
I don't know. Many of you know I struggle with smoking. For the past 4 years, I've had a test done on my lung because I have a spot on my lung. And my test came back with no suspicious pulmonary nodule.
Good.
I would just like to clarify. That was my fault. I did give him 6 o'clock, but it's at 6:30. I'm so sorry. I heard him in the parking lot struggling, so I thought I better clarify it.
So she wanted to say, I praise the Lord for my husband who's wonderful. That's what she wanted to really say. I'll just interpret that for her. This is Bo. I don't know if you know Bo, but this is Bo.
Hello, everybody. I just wanted to say thanks for inviting me. Thanks for having me. Yeah, everybody's been great here. I'm on a journey myself back to the Lord, and I would just ask that you all pray for me in that journey. Thank you.
Well, I often have real big thanks for the Lord, and this might seem like a little one, but I had a thing happen this week that I prayed about for 2 days. I have a whole set of keys that's everything around my place, and a big band on that says Tom's Keys. Well, I lost this, and we'd had a big gathering at my barn. A lot of people were in and out, and one man took the tractor key because he needs it this winter when he's going to be doing some things out of the barn. And I thought he had the whole bunch of keys. So when I asked him in a text, he says to me, what keys? So I knew then I had to get on a search. I had already separated all the trash and recycling into big bins, and it was in the back of my truck, ready to take it to the recycling. And I came back, and I'm thinking, where could they be? And I thought, and I think the Lord told me, Jesse, go through that trash again. So I had four bins, because it was a big gathering at the barn the night before, a lot of trash, and I wanted to recycle it. But anyway, the very first one that I pulled down, halfway down in, were those keys in a cup that had a little bit of baked beans on the outside of it. But the beans were clean, and oh, I mean, I really burst into tears, guys, because I, you know how that would be. All your keys are somewhere. Anyway, oh, the Lord is so good every day. And I, when I texted my neighbor and told him it was all okay, he just said, amen, Jesse. So thank you, Lord, for all your many, many blessings, big and small.
Driving in this morning, I saw a doe and a fawn. And my first words were, oh, dear. Since Russ didn't tell a joke this morning, I thought I'd tell you one.
So I was lucky this past season, as I've been struggling with my health, that God has allowed me to not stay at the bottom of, like, races. Like, I've been able to grow, which is a great thing. And this past week, for, like, a couple minutes, I felt like myself, which was amazing and a relief through this hard time that there is hope that I could be myself again. So, yeah. Giles.
Okay, so I don't really feel like sharing, but I feel like God wants me to share, so somebody needs to hear this, I guess. So I was a witness to a lady passing away, an acquaintance of mine. A week ago, she passed, and she was about 43 years old, and she got sick a couple months ago, and so it was really sudden, and she's leaving behind five school-aged children, so it was a real tragic thing, but she's a really, really strong believer, and her whole story was on Facebook, and they had all these posts and everything, and she was kind of training her family for what they were going to face. She was saying, I don't want you to run away from God. I want you to run toward God with the pain and all this stuff. So this quote I'm going to give you from a lady named Michael, which is an unusual name, Michael Christopher. She said, run toward the hard and run toward the hurt, because it's in the biggest hard that God does his greatest work.
I am asking for prayer for my family. We are going through a lot right now. So if you can just remember me and my daughter-in-law and my grandkids in prayer. Thank you.
I'd like you to pray for Steve. He's been on opiates for his back pain for several, well, many years. So he tried to wean himself and go off. So he's been having lots of nausea from one of the side effects, and it's usually mornings until around 2:30 or so in the afternoon every day. So please pray for Steve. And the other thing I want to share, you know, we think sometimes little things in life are, you know, we don't want to share them because we want to do the big things that God's done, right? But so Steve lost his keys, or not his keys, Steve, sorry, Jesse, that was you. Steve lost his phone, and you know all your numbers that are on your phone, and it's like a part of you almost. When you lose your phone, you're like, oh, because you have all your doctors, your acquaintances, your family, you know. So we prayed, and I'm searching through the couch, you know, getting my hands down in there, moving the furniture, and then we start thinking, because I think the Lord puts it in your mind where to backtrack. He left it on a shelf at Menards. And so I told him, maybe we need to go back and look wherever you were at Menards. He goes, I did not have it out there. And I said, okay, well, we're going to call Menards. Menards said, no, they didn't have anybody turn a phone in. And I called it like 10 times to trace it through the house. So that phone was going off at Menards the whole time, and nobody ever picked it up. So Steve went right back to the faucets where he was looking, And as he approached the shelf, thank you, Lord, there it was. So, you know, I just want to give him praise because he found his boat.
I think it was last year I started asking for a prayer for a pastor's son of ours, a friend of ours, his son, Logan Liuzzo. He is the one who has a tumor, I think it's like a cancerous mass right near or attached to his heart in some way. And so he is right now at OSU in the cardio and oncology unit. And right now he's fighting an infection. He's now 19, and he really needs our prayers. And they have been praying and seeking the Lord. They've seen progress, and yet, you know, here's another step back. So he's an amazing young man. So I would just ask that you pray for him. His name is Logan. So just pray for him.
With October being Pastor Appreciation Month, last week we appreciated our pastors, but I look around the church and I see how nice it is, see how nice the yard is, etc. And we need to remember the folks that put in the hard work, and they're doing it for the glory of God. So our trustees, the folks that help clean up and decorate, I mean, there's a lot of people that do things to our Sunday school teachers, et cetera. So I praise God for those people. They come here. They're not getting paid, and they do this work. And the church is nice, and we have a great place to worship. So thank God for those folks.
And our sound and AV people, too, back there.
I mentioned last week that I was going to be teaching all my classes about Christopher Columbus and how he was a Christian and went out looking for Jesus' other sheep. I had a ball this week. Every single one of my classes, kindergarten through fourth grade, all through 10 of them, it's actually the story. I was singing the book, but I made sure they knew all the true stuff first. So to get to talk about Jesus and God and the Bible and all that good stuff to all my classes was such a wonderful treat. And of course, as a teacher, you have to repeat things several times and reiterate how it all fits together and all that, you know. And so I'm already working on what I can do with Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up. So thank you.
Well, let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for bringing us here. Just remember Bo and Logan and Kelly and Steve and Stacy, who had surgery, and Diane, who's going to be having surgery, for all those things that we're looking at. Mary talks about having cataract surgery. Lord, just be with each one of those. Lord, be with the ones who are not here this morning. Guide and direct them. And those who may be sick or homeward bound or whatever it may be, that you'll just touch them this morning, those who need healing from you. We know there's physical healings, Lord, that happen through medicine, through doctors, and through your hand. Pray for my son Isaac as well with colitis and different things that are going on with our family and Kelly's family and different ones that are facing different trials and struggles. Maybe their kids have walked away and haven't come back to you. Maybe they're not attending church, or maybe there's a rift in that relationship, whatever it may be, that you'll heal that relationship. But most importantly, you'll heal our relationship with you. It'll be a loving and growing relationship, Lord, that we can be growing stronger and closer to you, getting back on the right track where we should be. Continue to be with our church here, Lord, as we reach out to those in the community, helping to see people come to know you in a deeper way. And be with Dave as he sings or plays for us this morning. And the message and the Secret Sisters reveal that they'll have a good time with that. And the trunk and treat, that it can be a witness for the community. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in and through us. Pray you continue that, and may it be even stronger in your name. Amen.
One day.
things shall all pass away. No more tears. One day you'll make sense of it all, Jesus. One day every question resolved. Every anxious thought left behind. No more fear. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. One day we will see face to face Jesus. Is there a
I always smile at him, make a face, and he always looks suspicious, like. It's just fun, you know? It's just kind of fun. We have fun here. Well, God knows. Just think about those two words, God knows. It can be a comforting thing. I remember when I was a kid growing up, and you turned on the TV and there were clean shows on there. You didn't have to worry about what was going to come up. You watched Andy Griffith. And Andy was a sheriff in a small town called Mayberry, RFD. I don't know what RFD stood for, but I didn't look that part up. What? A male thing, not a female thing. It's a male thing.
M-A-I-L. Oh, mail it now, okay. All right. Well, he lost his wife, and he tried to raise his son, Opie, on his own. If you watched the show, I'm sure most of you saw that show. But he was the kind of father who loved his son and always tried to do his best. When Opie messed up, you know, Andy was there to kind of correct him, bring him along and in a gentle way. And, you know, they went fishing, did all kinds of things. But he taught him the value of honesty and hard work. You know, remember, Opie's trying to earn money for something or other, and he had to do some work for it and things like that. And all those things would happen, but it seems like he always knew what was going on in his son's life, and he cared about him, and he loved him, even when he messed up. His dad was there to, you know, kind of comfort him, bring him back in. He had any kind of a problem that happened at school or whatever it may have been. And then my three sons, I don't know if you remember that show or not. My three sons, Steve Douglas, he was a widower, who showed us what it was like to raise three boys on his own. And if you watched that show, you saw that he had his kids get in a lot of mischief. But here again, he was with his kids and for them and helped them out no matter what happened. He was involved in their life and did the best he could to be an example. And then I think when his oldest got married, he adopted another son. And then if you read the thing on Wikipedia, it says he adopted a daughter too. I didn't see that part, but I guess that happened as well. But that was a show that you could look and see, and a nice clean cut. You know, they weren't wearing, you know, jeans down to their ankles and everything else. They were dressed up nice, which is kind of nice to see. And then the Brady Bunch. There's a story of a man named Brady. You know, you all know that song, blah, 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 right? Two families came together. I don't know if they lost their spouses. I'm assuming they lost their spouse, if I remember right. And they brought two families together and had to make it work out. You know, and it didn't become a, you know, his and hers kids. They were their kids. You know, and they were step-parents, but they were still parents. And they loved the kids, and the kids loved them. And they were good role models and all kinds of things. I remember one of the times that one of the kids bought a car, a piece of junk. And Dad tried to tell him, you know, about it and everything else. He let him buy it, go through the situation of having this car. But he never said, you know, you stupid kid, I told you not to buy that. You know, he just kind of went along with it and let him learn a lesson about the value of things and all that stuff. And I just thought it was a good show. But they're very fond memories that I have. And I'm glad, in, at least in one case, that we have internet, because my kids can see those shows, you know, on internet shows they have, and different things like Netflix and whatever, they can see those kind of shows. But in every case, there's a show called Father Knows Best. Think about all those shows. The dads love their kids. There was a family with a father and mother, and they had kids that they raised, and they helped them through the hard times without judging them. They gave them advice. They gave them support. The kids still made decisions sometimes that were not good decisions, like we all do. But Dad was there to back them up. He was there when they came home. He was there to discipline them when they needed discipline, and love them when they needed to be loved and cared for. But no matter how bad it was, the kids knew they could count on their father. But I think that when I was a kid, you know, people believed in looking out for each other, being kind, being respectful, being friendly. You never talked back to older adults. My dad wasn't around when I was a kid for a role model, but these kind of shows gave me ideas about what, you know, a father should be. But today, it's sad to me because we see disrespect for authority in all forms growing, don't we? Everywhere you see it, all over the place. Devaluing of older people, women, children, men, other races, religions. We lost that sense of having a loving father to teach us and guide us to do the right thing. Pretty much people do whatever they want. You know, there's no punishment for some of these things that people do that they shouldn't be doing, or they think there's none. Well, we looked away from our role model. We looked away from the Bible, and our schools show that result, don't they? Some of the kids think they're in charge, and in some schools they are in charge. The adults aren't in charge anymore. Watch the news and see how many people are hurting from violence, disrespect, tragic events, problems in life. They don't know what to do because they haven't been taught. They don't know where to go. They don't know what they're supposed to do or where to ask help for. We even have people in church that are hurting, don't we? Doesn't matter what age you are. Doesn't matter what race you are, what economic status you are. Because just because you're going to church doesn't mean you won't become hurt or discouraged. You're still going to face those kind of things in your life. But this is the place where you find answers to those problems, through God and His Word. Everything that we go through, every situation that we're going to face, He tells us how to handle those, doesn't He? Tells us to come to Him. All you are weak and heavy laden, and you'll find rest. So we can find comfort here in tough times because we have a God who knows. Father who cares for us. He wants the best for us. He's here with us, beside us, holding us and sometimes holding us up when we think we can't go on. And you think, as a non-Christian, how do you go through life without Christ? How do you do it? How do you make it? No wonder there's so much stress and anger and hurt, things that are going on with people because they can't take it. They just don't know how to deal with it. I was reading an article by a lady named Amanda, but I couldn't find her last name. But it says, what does it mean to speak of God's omniscience? According to the Online Etymology Dictionary, the prefix omni comes from a Latin prefix omnis, which means all. Omniscience, or science, also comes from scientia, which means knowledge. So it means God is all-knowing. He knows everything. Even before you do it, He knows it. Even after you've done it, He knows you did it. Even before you've thought about doing it, He knows that as well. So essentially, you're reinforcing the idea of the fact that God knows everything. He has never discovered anything new because He's always known everything. God's never discovered anything new because He's always known everything. Adrian Rogers once said, has it occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Interesting, isn't it? Nothing's ever occurred to God. He didn't go like, oh, I didn't know that. Because He already knew it. He knew all those things. He's never been surprised by anything. Because from before the beginning of time, through all eternity, He's known everything. Everything about you, everybody that's going to exist, everything that's going to happen, every thought you've had, everything you're going to do, everything you thought nobody knew you did, He knows. Every thought you had, even though you didn't do what you thought you wanted to do, He knew about that thought too. When that person cuts you off in traffic, or whatever it may be, and you thought about doing something malicious to them. Sorry. Right? He knows it. He knows all those things. You won't find the word omniscience in the Bible, but you find the word that God knows everything, right? He's not surprised. The Bible tells some specific things that God knows. Some people may know a few of them, but others won't know any of them because only God knows them. But He's designed us to have a relationship with Him specifically as a believer, a one-on-one relationship where we talk and share and tell Him our issues, right? And He helps guide us through. Because God knows everything, we can find comfort and peace and help in His Word. So we're going to look at Psalm 139 this morning. That's 139, 1 through 12. If you didn't bring your Bible, if you brought your Bible, you can look in there. We're going to look at some of these verses and what they mean for us. It's a psalm of David. He says, O Lord, You've examined my heart and know everything about me. Think about that word, examine something. To examine doesn't mean you just look at it. Examine means you look closely, purposefully, and intently. So if I look at this, I can look at this. If I examine this, I'm going to look at all the stuff on here. Oh, you missed the quotation mark there. That's what Verna does. She examines the bulletin. I look at it, go, hey, it looks so nice. She's like, wait a minute, this is not right. That's not right. So when you examine something, you look really closely at it, and you study it, basically, and you try to find what the true part of it is. When He looks at us, He looks at our motives, our intentions, and our desires. He knows us inside and out. So when God examines us, He looks at us totally, right? Jack was examined. And they put that in that machine, didn't they, Jack? They found stuff inside he didn't know, right? So God examines us inside and out. He looks for things that we may not know or notice about our desires, about our thoughts, what we're really like, what our true feelings are, what our motives are. You can fool everybody else, but you can't fool God. You can pretend you're this happy Christian, blah, blah, and you're really not. And God knows the difference. He knows what we've done. He knows how and why it's affected us. We can be honest with Him because He loves and cares about us and our problems and our hurts. So if you have an issue and say, God, I don't understand this. I'm upset about this. I can't figure this out. And you just tell him. He already knows, so why not just tell him how you're feeling? I'm mad at you about this. I don't know why this is happening to me. Or thanks for this, and thanks you brought me through. And good thing I wasn't in this situation, which I could have been in. But because I listened to you, I didn't have to go through that. Or I did find those keys because I listened to you that told me to look in the trash, which made no logical sense, right? Or I know my phone's at Menards on the shelf, but I know I didn't leave it there, but I'm going to look anyway. So sometimes God tells us to do things that we think is ridiculous, but there's a reason for it. It's him telling us, yeah, I'm still speaking to you. If you listen, you'll hear me. Verse 2 says, you know, when I sit down or stand up, you know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. Did you ever think that God loves you so much that he's watching you? Not to punish you, but just because he wants to watch you. Because he loves you and enjoys seeing what you're doing. Just like when you see a child in the park and playing on the swings, and mom or dad is there watching them to make sure they're okay. But just smiling as they swing and say, hey, mom, look. Hey, dad, watch what I'm going to do. He looks with love. He's also there for protection. Sometimes he just wants to watch us. You ever go in your kid's room if you have kids when they're sleeping and just look at them? You're like, I just wanted to see them sleep. He even knows my thoughts. He knows when I'm worried or discouraged or hurting or afraid or happy or uncertain. Even if I'm not near him, even if I wandered away, he still knows what I'm thinking. He knows what I'm going through. That doesn't mean he caused it, but it means he knows about it and it's important to him. When our kids have issues somewhere, like at school, somebody calls them a name, we didn't cause it, but we knew about it. We're there to comfort them, to help them, to bring them through and say, it's okay. Everybody's opinion doesn't matter in that case, right? Not everybody's right when they say something. But he wants to help us get things right. So as you see me when I travel and when I rest at home, you know everything I do. So he can see me when I travel. He can see Chris in Florida as she's traveling, right? Jessie when she's on her way, when she said she pulled over and was protected from the storm. He knows when we're traveling. Maybe he told you to turn off at this exit when you thought you were going to go somewhere else because there was a crash up front and you didn't have to go through that. No matter where you go, God can see you, and that should be comforting to have your dad watching over you. Even if your dad on this earth wasn't a good person, the Lord is. There's no comparison between the two in some cases. I can remember when our kids were little, they'd go outside or go in the back hallway. They'd say, Dad, can you watch me? Can you watch me? I'm scared. So you'd stand in the door and you'd watch them run out and do whatever they're doing and run back. They just had comfort knowing that you were there watching them. Sometimes they just want approval or security. But God knows both the good and the bad, and he still accepts us. And I told a story a long time ago about one of my sons eating Oreo cookies. And he went behind a chair and was eating it. And then he came out. My wife said, have you eaten Oreo cookies? He said, no, I ate nothing. I swallowed it. Well, sometimes we still have the crumbs on our face of things that we've done, don't we? And God sees those crumbs, that I know you did something, even when we deny it. We still have the crumbs on our face. But he wipes them away and said, you know, it's going to be okay. I understand. Verse 4, you know what I'm going to say before I say it. The good, the bad, and the ugly, the hurtful. Sometimes we forget we said it, but God remembers that we said it, and he brings it to our mind until we make it right. I may forget that God knows what I'm going to say, but I represent him in my speech when I say things. So people know you're a Christian, they're seeing God speaking when you're speaking. So when you make that comment or whatever it may be, remember you're representing his family because you're one of his kids. When we talk to others, God hears us too. And that goes for our thoughts as well. I remember people used to say, no, you're a Jones, and Joneses don't do that. Or you're a Smith, and this is what the Smith family does. Right? Because you're representing your family. He says, you go before me and follow me. place your hand of blessing on my head. I think this is kind of a cool thing where it says God goes before us and behind us. He clears the path before us when we're going, but he's also protecting us from getting attacked from behind. So isn't that comforting? When you're going somewhere, go downtown Columbus to Hudson Avenue once. You definitely want God there with you, going before you and behind you and beside you and protecting you in those situations. But he does. If he puts you in a situation, he'll protect you in that situation. His hand of blessing is on us. God wants to bless us. He wants it what's best for us. He doesn't want us to get hurt or suffer or be sad. But things happen, and that's going to happen. But when that does happen, he wants to comfort us, and help us to carry on, and even encourage us when things seem to fall apart. Verse 6 and 7, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit, and I can never get away from your presence. David says, this is too much for me to handle. How can you love and care for me that much? I can't even understand it. Have you been in a situation where somebody just cares for you and you can't understand why? Why do you care so much? But that's what God is saying. You're there, you matter, and I believe you love me. You can almost hear God say, well, you're my child and my love's unconditional. I'll be with you and you'll know it. No matter where you go, you're still my kid. I still love you. My presence, my spirit will be around you. When the enemy tries to attack you, I'll be right there. And he goes on and says, if I go up to heaven, you're there, and if I go to the grave, you're there. He's talking about two extremes, isn't he? If you go to heaven, I'll be there. If you go to the grave, I'll be there. Distance is not an issue for God. Doesn't matter where you go, he can be with you and he can find you. He doesn't need a map. He doesn't need the internet. He doesn't need a cell phone. He doesn't need GPS to find you because he knows where you are, specifically each person. That if I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Remember as a child walking with your parents and you would take their hand? They would guide you through? Especially in a big crowd, they'd grab your hand or put their hand on your shoulders and kind of take you through. That's what God does. He takes our hand and guides us through situations that he knows we wouldn't be able to handle on our own. But he's there with us, holding our hand, guiding us through. When we feel lost, he says, don't worry, I'm here. It's okay. You ever get separated from your family in a crowd? You're looking all around? Dan never has because they could see him walking around, but me, they couldn't find me. So I'd put my hand up, wave, hey, Mom, Dad. Dan would be like, Dad, you down there? You get lost sometimes, and it's comforting when you hear your mom or dad's voice, I'm over here, right? My kids find me in the store because of my cough. I have allergies, and I'll go in the store, like, oh, Dad's over there. That's how they pick me out. So if I take some allergy medicine, I wouldn't have the cough. They'd never find me. But that's how they find me. And then the last two verses say, I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. Did you know if you ever wanted to hide from God, you couldn't do it? Try to hide from God, you can't do it. He knows where you are. He can find you. I wouldn't want to play hide and seek with him because he'd always win, wouldn't he? He's like, I know you're over there. I know you're over there. I know you're over there. But when I'm blinded by the darkest place of my life, God is there. And I'm not hidden from him. No matter how far away I feel, his light is there. If I have marital issues, if I have spiritual issues, physical, emotional issues, whatever it is, God knows. And he's there to help me through it. Paul knows what it's like to have problems, doesn't he? And he knew God was still there. So God knows where you are in whatever situation. Maybe you're in a hard place today, and you feel all alone and you're crying out for help because you're facing something that you think is too big. You need to remember God is bigger than any situation you could ever be in. Maybe you have questions you need answered, but the answers aren't coming. and you're running out of time for the option. Maybe you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. You know, we think just because you're in a church, everybody's a Christian. That's not true. You don't know who's actually asked Christ in their life and who hasn't. That's something we need to do personally. You can't accept Christ for somebody else. If you haven't said, Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord and Savior, then you haven't accepted him. You can go to church all day long. It doesn't make you a Christian. Only that personal relationship does of accepting Christ in your life. Maybe this morning he's telling you to do something you don't understand or talk to somebody or come for prayer. Whatever your need is, you're in the right place because God knows you're here and he knows your need. Because this is the family of God, isn't it? This is the body of Christ. We're supposed to love and support each other. But people don't know if you don't say anything. Sometimes we have needs and issues that we never talk about because I don't want anybody to know that. How can somebody pray for you if they don't know? I think that's kind of a pride issue, isn't it? I don't want anybody to know I have any problems. Look at them pray for me. But God wants to know. So this morning, if you'd like to, let's stand for a minute. Just close your eyes while you're at your seat, while you're standing. You can come for prayer if you want. This morning, we'll pray for you up at the altar if you have a need or a request. Or you can just put your hand up and down if you want me to pray for you in general. Okay? If you don't know the Lord, you can come and know him today. You can see Russ or I afterwards. Okay? All right, I see those hands. Anybody else want to come? Okay. We'll just take a few minutes with these that are here this morning and then Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for bringing us here this morning, Lord, for helping us to give our needs to you, whether we did it in front or did it in our seat. Whatever it may be, Lord, we know that you are the answer. Lord, prayer is the answer to all these things, our communication with you. For Lord, you have all power. You have all knowledge. Lord, you're everywhere. We need to put our trust in you. And we ask that you'd be with us this morning as we leave this place, Lord, as new creations in Christ. In your name, amen.
Amen. We're here because of the grace of God, aren't we? Have you experienced the grace of God in your life? I know I have. You need to pass that. Let's sing that chorus, shall we?
Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Go ahead. Thank you. Enjoy your week.